Hi guys, and welcome back to Comadres y Comics. We are your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
All right. I feel like I'm already feeling tired. we haven't even done all our conventions.
It's only April.
Right.
And
silently screaming inside.
We've done so much already. You know what? I'm not going to lie. That road trip was like so, it was a lot of fun, but like it took me no less than a week and a half to get over, like mm-hmm. decompress and get over yeah. and rest and totally. Come back from it.
So I was like, okay, that's it, I'm done. But then, you know, Free Comic Book Day, and then now East LA Cape and all that stuff coming up. I kind of was like kind of happy, silently happy that I wasn't able to be on a panel in WonderCon. I was like, oh, I can't. Although I love WonderCon. Weekend.
Yeah.
I do like WonderCon.
It's great.
Yeah. I've been so busy with the shop that I didn't even really get to do much of WonderCon. I went on the day that I had a panel, and that was it, which was Friday. And I was at the shop the rest of the weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you guys do a lot. I mean, and then Free Comic Book Day. And then also, you guys did the Festival of Books.
Yes.
Yes.
That.
Although it was a smaller.
It was a lot smaller, a lot more manageable.
Oh, good.
We were not there packing up till after dark, which was great.
Oh, my God.
But yes, Festival of Books is amazing. If you've never been to Festival of Books, it's the Los Angeles Time Festival of Books held at the USC campus here in Los Angeles. And it is just that, this huge, amazing festival full of booths where local and non-local authors, self-published, published, people who are doing comics, who are doing regular books, who are doing underground stuff. They have speaker sessions. A couple of years ago, we were very lucky to be by one of the main stages where freaking Billy Idol was there talking about the book that he wrote, and then he did a little impromptu concert.
What? Yes. That is amazing.
Yes, that was really awesome. So
some of the things I've noticed you need to get a ticket for.
Yes. Some of the speaker series.
Yeah, the bigger speaker series, you need one. But some of them you don't. And I'm surprised the Billy Idol one didn't require one.
Well, it was an outdoor stage.
Yeah,
so
that probably makes sense.
You probably needed a ticket for a seat, but there were so many people that were just crowded around.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's Billy Idol.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know there was a one time the guy from the Sex Pistols who wrote a book.
Johnny Rotten.
I believe so. Mm-hmm. And he was there, and I was like, well, that's so cool.
You know how they say never meet your idols, your heroes, whatever? Yeah. He's turned out to be a, is it Johnny Rotten?
I don't remember. It was so many years ago.
He's turned out to be, he's a Trump supporter, by the way. And his politics that he likes to espew on the internet is, leaves a lot to be desired. Yes, I always get him mixed up with Jonesy from Jonesy's Jukebox, but no, different person.
Different person. I went once, and just to be on the campus, was
Johnny Rotten. John Lydon, yes, okay, right person.
Just to be on the campus, it's such a wonderful building. The architecture is amazing. It's just to be on campus and just walk around is cool.
Yeah, I always recognize both USC and UCLA in movies a lot.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
It's really funny when they do, because I went to high school, right? Like literally like right across the street from USC on the other side of MLK. And so like after school, me and my friends would hang out there and stuff like that, and some of my friends went to a program where they took classes at USC during the weekend, and so we would hang out after that, so I'd be on the campus a lot. So I grew up around the USC area a lot, so when I see it in movies and stuff like that. I'm just like, I know where that is. And for some reason, movies really like the VKC building, which is the one that has like the really the metalwork globe all the way on top.
Oh, okay.
That you can see a lot in the movies. And so I was just like, oh, I know that building.
Yeah.
TMI, but that I had to help a friend out who was went drunk to class.
Oh, wow.
And had to help her out. And I was like, that's the building my friend threw up in. Aww. And it's just like, it's very unglamorous and stuff like that, but people see it as like a glamorous school. Yeah. And like, I get it, and like, it's a prestigious school. At the same time, I'm just all like, I'm pretty sure we punked some, not pretty sure, this did happen. When we were high schoolers, we were like, kind of shitty. But we would like, since we hang out, we'd know the buildings, and people would come up to us and just like, do you know where this building is? And I'd in my head I'd be like, you know, there's a map right over there, you don't have to ask us, right? So we would intentionally give them the wrong direction.
Oh my goodness.
You're so mean.
I was a
that's
high schooler.
A total high school thing to do. Yes. Yes.
You can't sit here.
Oh my gosh. Well, the cool thing about, one of the cool things is that there were a lot of comic publishers this year. Fanbase mm-hmm. Press was there.
Yes.
Stranger Comics was there. Actually, yeah. DC was there. And what? They've all been there in the past. But there is a little section where there is a lot of comic booths to mm-hmm. be had and enjoyed. And so we had some trades, and we had $5 20 packs, and mm-hmm. Pops are always super popular, but it was a lot of fun, and I look mm-hmm. forward to doing I don't look forward to doing it. Honestly,
she's lying.
But, yeah, but I do. I honestly am salty that I have to work and I don't actually get to go around and look at things, because I love reading, I love books, and it's definitely right up my alley of something that I would enjoy. So, yeah. But I do like the vibe there. So mm-hmm. it's fun.
Yeah, it's a very chill vibe.
The very first time I went there, I was able to sit in on a reading from Sandra Cisneros. Mm-hmm. And then I got to take a picture with her. Nice. And a couple of my friends. And I think that was like one of my most favorite pictures too, that it was just like all of a sudden I had a camera, or I think it was one of the disposable cameras.
Uh-huh.
And I was able to take a picture with her. And this was before like cell phones and stuff like that. I think I didn't even have a cell phone back then.
Was it on the UCLA campus back then? Because it started on the UCLA campus.
And I think it was.
Moved to USC.
Yeah, okay. I think it was. Yeah. It was so long ago, but it was one of my favorite memories. Yeah. And I was there with a really good friend who I no longer speak to.
Aww.
Because we are distanced. I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
But our friendship was super awesome. Yeah. I really enjoyed our friendship. It was super cool. So that, you know, that I just have a soft spot for the La Feria de los Libros.
I haven't missed a single festival of books since they moved to the USC campus, because when I was a kid, my mom would take me there.
Oh, cool.
As well. So because she'd be like to encourage us to read and stuff like that. So I have been there every year basically since it moved there, and I really like it. It's a lot of fun. My favorite memory is when they had this German writer who had wrote one of my favorite children's books that I still have. And I was like, I was already 15, but when I found out that she was going to be there, I like went back and I dug through that book, because like I loved this book. As like it was actually one of the first books I bought with my allowance money when I was a kid. And and so when I found out she was there, I like went back and I was just like, I know I have this book, because I was very careful with it because I wanted to keep it and keep rereading it. And so when I went there, and when I went up to her and I was just like, can you please sign my book? And she looked at it and she's just like, oh, you've had this book for a very long time, haven't
Aww.
You?
What book was it?
It was called Dragon Rider.
Oh, yeah. That's such a Jen,
so cool.
A little Jen book. Oh, that's so cute.
And so I like those moments like that, because I remember taking my siblings, because my little sister when she used to read a lot more than she does now, again, when she was like in elementary school and I would read to her, she liked this author called Pseudonymous Boschk or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like that was his like writer name and stuff like that. But he was going to be there. And so I took her and went to get her book signed, and she was so excited and stuff like that. And that's she still cool. And she still remembers that to this day. And same thing with my... with my little brother, is that I gave him all of my Lemony Snicket books.
Yeah.
And he, like, because I had all of them, and I was just like, here, read these. I think you'll like them.
Yeah.
Again, when he was, like, smaller in elementary school, and he read them, or he would ask me to read them for him, and I would.
Right.
And then he appeared in the Festival of
Books. Yeah, I remember that.
And I took my little brother. Like, I was about a throwdown with an older woman. Because you needed tickets for that event. Yeah. And then you needed to be in line to get the book signed. So I was just like, okay, I can only get one ticket because they only had a limited amount.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this lady who wanted a ticket as well. Except she wanted, like, more.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, and I was just like... bitch. And then so I only got one ticket, and I gave it to my little brother so he could go, and then I stayed in line for his signing thing. So he went, and he still remembers that too and stuff like that. So I was just like, that's what I really like about the festival.
Yeah.
Especially their kids center mm-hmm. stage that is sponsored by Target now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it is. So Target has like a little since Target sells books,
yes,
and stuff like that, they have a little Target store right there.
Oh,
that's just books, and also cleaning wipes and stuff like that.
Yeah,
because it's kids,
right? Okay. Well, see, that's the thing about having your own booth. You don't really get to see. All I see is what I pass by from the parking structure that we had to park to where our booth is, and then whatever is between our booth and the bathroom. And that's it. But it's huge. I mean, the campus, if you've ever been on the USC campus, is really big, and the festival is so big. One of the sponsors every year is C-SPAN, and my mom actually was watching a lot of the author series on C-SPAN. And
oh, wow.
They were like showing the festival, and she was texting me saying, oh my gosh, this place is huge, because she knew I was there. So mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to enjoy the festival.
Oh, definitely. I took Frank once. We went on the metro. It was like a field trip for us. We went on the metro. We got there. We walked around. We got there kind of late because I didn't time the metro very well. And he's like, let's just drive there. I'm like, I'm not going to pay for parking. We're going to take the metro.
Oh, you don't want to pay for parking.
Yeah, exactly. And it was great. We had a really good time. He took some pictures and, you know, like, it was just great. It was like a really good outing. This year, T.C. Boyle was there that I wanted to see, but you needed a ticket. Mm-hmm. So I kind of snoozed on that, and then I just didn't go.
Yeah.
You can either do it online.
Yeah.
That's how you get them, and they charge like a small service fee for it.
Oh.
It's like $2.
Oh, okay.
Stuff like that. Yeah. Or you can get up very early. Be there at, I think, 8:45 a.m.
Oh, that's too much.
And then ask for, because they have some on-site tickets that are... free, absolutely. Mm-hmm. All the tickets are free, I think. Or at least some,
I believe,
should be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You just have to, like, reserve them. So if you do it online, you pay a small service fee for Eventbrite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that goes, like, to Eventbrite. It doesn't go to the festival.
I see.
Or, like I said, get up really early. Get the ticket very early in the morning, because by 10, they are all gone.
Yeah.
Okay, so, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe next time I can volunteer my services for your booth, and then you guys can all... switch off and go and check it out for like half an hour or something. Like, I'm here. Okay, go. Tag. No, okay. Kristen, I feel like it's time for... It's that time again.
It is la hora de la cervecita.
Yay.
And I'm super excited about this beer today. Because it sounds really yummy, but it is hecho en la Ciudad de México. It is
Ahua.
It is Hard Frescos Brewing Company. So just like it sounds, hard frescos, just like how they have hard cider or hard lemonade, it's a fresco flavored beer, but it has alcohol in it. And this one happens to be Sparkling Juicy Jamaica. And it is a beer with natural hibiscus flavor. And so it's super, super exciting because I don't know why I just thought if they had. Have you seen any other ones besides this one, Sarah? Besides Jamaica?
Yes, Tamarindo.
Okay.
And then I think another one, but I got this one because I thought maybe this would be like the good intro to it.
Jamaica is my favorite agua. It grossed me out right now just to think of an hard horchata, though.
Oh, there's not a beer one, but I can tell you.
Ew. Okay. I don't know.
Said there's not a beer one, but there is rum chata.
Oh, yes. I've heard of that.
And that one is hella good.
So Hard Frescos is introducing the first hard sparkling aguas frescas. The brewing company tested their first batch of hard aguas frescas in their Mexican brewery. And after some trial runs, they finally perfected the craft with the help of brewing experts. From the University of California, Davis.
Exactly.
Alma mater. Awesome. Their team's first production took place in the Pacific Northwest in 2015 and was released into the market a year later that year. They are a truly premium brand committed to creating delicious and refreshing beverages. Their cold fermented aguas frescas use a unique blend of real fruit, extracts, natural flavors, and yeast. Nothing else on the market compares to the taste and quality of their hard frescos. And there are two co-founders. It's because his name is Marro. Foundos. Marro Gomez and Peter Stearns. And they've been following their family traditions of producing handcrafted products for decades. In 1959, Marro's grandfather founded La Reina, the queen of I can't say this.
Tortilleria?
Yes, tortilleria.
Tortilleria.
Actually located here in East LA.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh.
And Peter's grandfather is a second generation immigrant chef, and his grandfather introduced Peter to the kitchen at age 5. So wow. They are both, Marro and Peter are excited to share with us their deep appreciation of family tradition and Latin culture. So here we go. I don't know what the alcohol content is.
Oh, let's see.
On the can.
I think it's 5 point something.
Okay.
5.7 ABV.
Okay. So, I mean, when you pour it, it looks like a wine cooler.
Yes, it does.
But yeah. It clearly, it says it's a beer. Where did you get this from, Sarah?
Oh, I actually got this at Food for Less.
So
of all places.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to know. It's widely available,
yes.
It mm-hmm. sounds like. So you can just hopefully walk into your local.
Why am I not surprised that it's a Food for Less?
I can smell it from
here, actually.
It smells great.
It smells like a Jamaica.
Yeah, it does.
But that someone like either obviously poured tequila in it or some equally hard liquor.
Oh, I just went to smell the microphone. Ooh. I went like that.
Okay. Well, I just tasted it and it tastes good. It's nice fruity flavor. It's a light.
Very light.
It's mm-hmm. a little carbonated.
Yeah.
Low carb.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't taste the hint of beer.
Same. I it tastes straight up wine cooler.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. So
I really like it.
So I'm gonna say I'm disappointed because I thought it was gonna be more of a beer taste.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it, but yes, I wouldn't beer, I guess, because there's yeast in it and the way that they made it and stuff, I can mm-hmm. understand that it qualifies. But yeah, I don't think that most beer drinkers would be happy with me if I recommended them this quote unquote beer.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but yes, if your expectations are wine cooler or hard Jamaica drink, then absolutely, mm-hmm. I would say go for it.
Yeah, like yeah. I feel like I could put like pieces of fruit in here and
you make this into like a sangria.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, this would be perfect.
Oh my god.
As a sangria.
Yes.
Yes. So because it's not a beer, I feel a little lied to. So I'm going to just go ahead and review this. It's an initial for me.
Initial. Okay, well, to remind people about our rating system for beers, it is a 5-point rating system, and we start with the very first, which is what Sarah gave hers, is initial. Actually, no, the very first is bottom line flaccid. Then
I was almost flaccid, but no.
Yeah, then initial, then 3 out of 5 is partial, 4 out of 5 is full, a 5 out of 5 is rigid, and a 6 out of 5 is super saiyan. And I have to say that we just barely last show that we recorded Las Platicas at the recording studio, the original one, was it brought to my attention that there is Super Saiyan hair at the top of I did not realize that. I thought it was fire.
Oh wow. I mean, it is made to look like that. So
Sarah gives it a 2 out of 5. Womp womp.
I am going to give it a full.
Okay.
And mostly because I just poured myself some more right now, and this is 100% a thing that I would drink all by myself, like a six pack, because it almost tastes like candy.
It and does.
You know
it does
what?
Taste like, yep. Yeah.
You know what? And it has 6 grams of sugar. Mm-hmm. So it's sweet, and this is everything I like.
I think it's
sweet. It's fruity. It's like it's kind of. It has a little bit of carbonation,
yeah.
That makes it kind of bubbly,
yeah.
So it's almost like champagne or something like that.
Yes, it's actually like a very cheap, like a night train or like a Boone Strawberry Hill. So this will definitely take you back to your high school drinking days.
For sure.
These are like or like when I was when my family would used to throw more parties and stuff like that, and my madrinas would throw more parties, and like drinks would get confused, and every once in a while a kid would pick up an adult drink that's been mixed with tequila. Uh-huh. This is what this tastes like. So you know what? Memory lane. And I'll give it a full just for that.
See, and I'm still on the fence whether this is a beer or not, because I thought maybe I picked this up and it's a hard cider kind of dealio, but it says here, Juicy Jamaica Hibiscus Beer with Natural Flavor. Mm-hmm. That's what it says, and so I'm... For me, it's definitely an initial. And Jen, just so you know, I had to buy the 6-pack, so you're welcome to have the rest.
Please, give it to me.
Yes.
I think even my mom would like this.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is Kristen, and I actually am going to go ahead and give it a partial 3 out of 5. I really like the taste. I really enjoy the flavor. Like I said, Jamaica is my favorite agua. But yes, it's not to me a beer.
It's not a beer.
It's a little sweet. Like the little bit that I've drank right now, which was just probably like a quarter of my taster, is enough for me. I'm done. It's just too sweet.
Yeah. So I drank my taster the whole thing just because I don't leave beer behind. But I was like, no.
Well, I was just assuming Jen was going to take mine.
Oh, but, don't mind if I do.
But yes, 3 out of 5. I think that it definitely would be, I mean, a 6-pack. No, I could not do a 6-pack.
No, me neither.
But if I was in the right mindset and I was eating it with something, I could probably get through a whole can and enjoy it.
Maybe.
Yeah, but the sweetness is just really.
You know, put it under ice or whatever just to kind of take away a little bit of the sweetness for me. But no, I'm not really. I was lied to is what it is. So that was our beer review, guys. All right, guys, and now it's time for our book review. What are we reviewing today, guys?
Well, today we have a book called Demon Bitch, Hellfire and Damnation. It's written by a female creator, Christy Shin. She's local to Los Angeles. We see her a lot at conventions that we are at. And it is... a book that I see a lot, only because we carry it in our shop and also because we see it on her table at conventions. And I never really knew what it was about. All I knew that it said Demon Bitch, and there is a drawing of what appears to be a little female demon. And you know it's a female because she has duct tape over her nipples.
And you know, this just reminds me of an outfit I used to wear to Control Factory. And I probably look like Demon Bitch here. So yeah.
Oh my God.
It's electrical tape in a cross and an X over my nipples and like a long...
Where was this again?
Control Factory. It was on Highland.
Wait, Control Factory. Is this a BDSM place?
No. This is a industrial okay. Music club.
Oh, man. It missed its mark, man.
At the Probe.
BDSM club called Control Factory. I'm all about that.
Yeah. There was Cinematic, which was, I think, off of Santa Monica Boulevard. And that was BDSM. It was great.
There's a BDSM bar next to, gosh, what's it called? It's in Hollywood next to Bordner's, where we went that one time.
Yeah. It's also close to, it's a couple of blocks away from Scum and Villainy.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So I know the one you're talking uh-huh. about.
Which I've always wanted to go to.
Let's go together. Road trip.
Okay. Road trip to Hollywood. Okay. So this is the
The BDSM scene.
Victoria Irwin from fangirlnation.com did the little blurb on the back of Demon Bitch, Hellfire and Damnation. And this gave me a little bit more of an insight into what I was about to experience. It says, if you like your social commentary a little on the revenge side, Demon Bitch is the next comic you need in your arsenal. Short and sweet, the comic strips are short enough to be read quickly, but long enough to remind you of someone you might know. Demon Bitch is a crude, insensitive, gross, foul-mouthed, and utterly hilarious look at misplaced world values.
Boy, if that's not the truth, I don't know what is.
So the comic book itself is there. If you read from beginning to end, there is a little bit of it's not a story arc, but you kind of get introduced to the main character,
right?
Demon Bitch. She is a demon who basically tricks her father, Satan, into
Satanás.
into letting her come up to Earth to basically hang out with the earthlings, the humans. The humans.
Her goal, I guess, is to lead man astray or something.
And the way that she decides to try to basically make her way in on Earth is to become a stripper.
That's right.
Yeah. And
she actually does an incantation from hell to exit hell, and she ends up on Hollywood Boulevard.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Or if you ask some religious people, is where all the sin comes from.
Right. They're always on the corner of Hollywood and Highland with their big signs.
Yeah.
Okay. So each, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So it looks like, in the beginning, a lot of them are 12 panels. Mm-hmm. And then towards the end, there's like one-page panels. And then there's a couple here that are just like 5 panels. And there's another friend that we get introduced to in this first. See, I read
Egg
this,
Lady.
Okay, that's what it was. I couldn't remember what her name was. I read the second book too. So there's some people in here in the second book that we get introduced to that I wasn't sure if we got introduced here yet. All right, so because it is a collection of strips, there's not really an ongoing story arc or story, so it's kind of hard to talk about the book from that perspective. But each of the strips is like a, what do you call it? Like a one-shot joke.
Right. Type right, thing. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of cursing.
Yes.
There's I guess I wouldn't say there's some nudity, but there's a lot of sexual content.
Yes.
Or allusions to sexual situations and stuff like that. There's also, Yeah, I would say the back is pretty accurate in that there's some pretty gross scenes.
Uh-huh.
Like, there's a specific scene in the book where she says, oh, I'm pregnant, and it turns out it's just gas, and then she releases it, and then there's shit all over.
Yes. That was one of my favorites.
So, I'm assuming if you remembered the one that I was talking about was my favorite, that it was in the first one then, but I don't find it right now. But my favorite one was where she was eating a hot dog.
And she was eating it
so, like, oh my gosh, it was the best freaking hot dog ever in the world. And she was like slurping it and licking it and like just even kissing it. And then at the end, she finally swallows it and says, that'll be $10.
Yeah, that was, yeah. So I was actually, where's this going? And then, yeah.
I actually laughed out loud at that one. And I think there was another one that I kind of laughed at, but I don't remember which one it was. It might have been in the other book. But there was, in the beginning of this one, an introduction. Actually, it's a foreword. A foreword by Russell Nolte, who runs his own comic publishing company, B something, something with bees. I feel bad that I forgot. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Russell. but he has a lot of cool stuff that he publishes and that he is also at all the cons selling. And his first sentence to his foreword is, I know what you're thinking. Holy shit, Russell, didn't you just do the foreword for Christie's last book? And then says, oh, well, that's not what I thought that it was going to say. Oh, it's the third one. It says, let's see. Okay, it's a little weird to be doing the forward for another book, but I am weird, and this book is weird. Because to get this book, you need to be a little effed in the head. That's what he says. And so, actually, when I read that, I was like, I feel like this book is, like, made for me because I definitely have like a kind of demented sense of humor, and I laugh at things that are not necessarily funny to other people. On one of our first 5 dates, I made Eddie take me to Jackass for one of our dates. And so, like, that's kind of where I'm coming from. But a lot of the stuff in this book actually kind of fell just short of being funny to me. And I don't know if I'm missing some deeper, like, meaning to it, and I'm just, like, I'm not intellectual enough to get it. But like I said, I laughed a couple of times, but for the most part, I kind of just was, like, I wasn't grossed out. I wasn't, like, offended or anything like that, but I was just, like, not really, like, one way or another. Like, mm-hmm. What's that... the Spanish term when people ask you how you're doing and you're like,
más o menos.
Yeah, más o menos. There you go.
Yeah.
Más o menos.
Más o menos. I like to think that I'm pretty well educated. That,
See, and we're laughing, but that's exactly what I thought. I was like, Jen's going to read it and she's going to get the deep stuff.
That's just the thing. It fell short for me for that, in that its value was very, how do I put this? Skin deep, I guess you could say,
mm-hmm.
In that there could have been something there. Here's the thing. I don't think it's intellectual enough.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's something there that it has potential to be like a very nice critique of society, yeah. Of media, and of, I guess, like, what it is that people value. Because there's something, there's, like, it's just vaguely there. Her friendship with Egg Lady in there and stuff like that. And and how they basically, it could have been a critique on society's views on prostitution and mm-hmm. sex work. It could have been a critique on how we put so much value into social media and our appearances on social media, But it is not. And I think she herself says in the book towards the end how a lot of these things she did when she was angry. And I was like, what were you angry about?
Yeah.
What was like where it they do seem very in the moment kind of thing, like maybe when she was angry and stuff like that, she wanted to comment on something, but I think we need context on what it is that she was was commenting on, or what it is that she wanted to say. It's just it's not my thing.
Yeah,
basically the humor I get of it, I think there's, if I had to choose at least one thing that I liked from either books, there is only one that I truly really liked, and it's Demon Bitch when she is like, there's swords piercing her and she's walking and she says, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And like, that's the only one I can kind of say that I liked.
Right.
But all the rest of them were just, they just fell short off the mark for me on humor, on what it is that she was trying to comment on, or even just, I guess, taste. Because there is, like, I would like to think I'm not faint of heart. I like horror. I don't mind gore. And I don't, and I've always been kind of, or not always been, but it's very sex positive once I kicked out all the Catholic learnings from me. But it seems weird just for the sake of being weird.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a book that I see get picked up a lot at the shop.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. People look at it and they're like, they seem interested and piqued in it. And like their interest is piqued in it. But I think it appeals more to people who like weird just for the sake of being weird.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess, not even rudeness, but I guess, almost grotesqueness, just because it is like that. Like maybe I might have to examine myself and how what I think is nice or appealing or stuff like that. And maybe that's not why I like the book, because it's not pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be in itself something that I think could be looked into and that I could look into myself. But I did not like it. Sorry, yeah. Christine.
I think the other one that I found, sorry to cut you off, Sarah, before you start, but I think the other one I liked was one of the just one panels where Demon Bitch has a match in one hand, a lit match in one hand, and a bottle of booze in the other, and she's saying, this is how you solve problems.
Oh, yeah.
That one arson.
Well, as for me, I actually got like the social media kind of stuff. There's this one, I think, one of the ones with the many panels where she's taking pictures of her and some random guy. And she's like, I have a person in my life and I'm happy and I'm posting all these pictures because I'm happy with him. See, look, it's real. And then she shows like her engagement ring and she tries to lick him and take a picture while she's licking him and stuff. And how then she posts a picture of like, this is my wedding dress and this is his tuxedo. See, I am in a real relationship. Yeah. So I kind of get that, because a lot of people, what they do is they post the good stuff.
Right.
So, I mean, you're like, oh, there she goes again. Mm-hmm. With her happy marriage and her, you know, her
people
happy family.
Yeah. Stuff. I mean, they did say that Demon Bitch will remind you of some people that you...
Right.
That you see.
That and you, then, yeah, that you yeah, might know.
That you might know.
So, and then those are, I think, my favorite ones were like the ones referring to like the perfect marriage and stuff like that. There's another panel where she's like, yeah, I'm really in a, you know, in a marriage, in a relationship. And she goes, they're like, well, where are your wedding pictures? So she goes and she draws her own wedding album. And she's like, I didn't draw this. This is real. So I thought that was kind of funny. I also, let's see.
That's just the thing. I don't find them funny. A lot of those situations I just found very sad.
Yeah, well, I missed this part, Jen. You were referring to how you said that you read that she said she wrote it when she was
it's all the way
mad.
In the back.
And yeah, I missed that part. I did go through all the way in the back, but there's a section that says shitty sketches, the effing awesome process behind Demon Bitch. And then the next page says, I fucking lied. There's nothing. I just write and draw scribbly notes of bullshit to captivate my audience. You think that I did all this deep soul searching shit? No way. I drew these when I was pissed off at something. Oh God, I'm such an awful person. I scanned them in badly because she doesn't deserve any better. Plus, it qualifies me for zines. And so that's basically, and then there's some sketches and you can see like how she, how her process is and stuff. So I feel like maybe I'm searching for something that's just not even there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and some of these I was like, oh man, this reminds me of me. Like, for instance, I'm kind of like Egg Lady. Like, so that I enjoyed because I kind of chuckled at myself because I'm like, oh shit, that reminds me of myself. Mm-hmm. But in their relationship, where they're like, we're besties, but like they're kind of like throwing indirectas.
Yeah. They're always like in this like competition.
Right, yeah. Right. So yeah, I'm like, oh shit, that reminds me of, you know, my way of thinking. I thought that was hilarious. Mm-hmm. I liked her boob crutches.
I know. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't figure out what those were for the longest time until there's actually a page where there is
behind
a
it.
Full, yeah, there's a full sketch of Egg Lady, her wedding look, and then she actually goes through and
it's A through G on her wedding look.
Yeah, and yeah. D is boob crutches due to poorly made bras and just a bad body shape, which was rendered unappealing to get gored low because apparently that's what Latinos do according to her. Hint, she's not Latina.
Yeah, I was like, oh, cool. And then A kind of resonated with me because she's like, she went to MAC to go get her makeup done because she's cheap. Because she's cheap. I actually contemplated doing that for my wedding.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, yeah. And actually, I did do a test run on half my face just to see if I could pull it off on my own and stuff. But anyway, some of these did remind me of myself. So that's why I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I think we're ready to review it. I mean, rate it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So our rating scale is 1 to 3 conchas and a cup of champurrado if we really, really enjoy something. So I will start. This is Kristen. And I actually really want to be supportive of the fact that this is a independent female creator. And
who not only writes, she also draws her own comic.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So she does both of those things.
Yes, and she actually also has her own publishing company called Horatora Studios. And you can actually find more of the things that she's done at horatorastudios.com. And Demon Bitch is not the only thing she does.
No, I've seen her other artwork and she's very, very good.
Yeah,
she's amazing.
And I think maybe that's what took me by surprise,
right?
Is because I've seen her other artwork and it's really nice and I really like it.
Yeah.
But this was such a turn of left field almost for what I know about of what I've seen of her, of her other stuff, that it's just like I was kind of like, I guess I was taken by surprise.
Yeah.
By it.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm very upset that I didn't like it more than I did, because like I said, I definitely, based on even her own description, when you ask her what it's about, thought that it was totally going to be for me. And it wasn't. But like I said, I don't want to discourage people from supporting Christy and all of the other amazing things that she does that you can find at horatorastudios.com, or even if Demon Bitch is for you, because like Jen said, we really sell a lot of this out of the shop. So
yeah, a lot.
So there is a market for it. It just doesn't happen to be for me. So for that reason, I'm going to give it 1 concha.
It'd be like that. I'm going to give it 1 concha too, simply because I know this is not for me. And right now that we were talking about, I was thinking, and if you read the other book as well, basically Demon Bitch and all her friends and Egg Lady are all descriptions or like made to be descriptions of women that I guess it's not that I don't like, but that people would call like, oh, that bitch and stuff like that. And stuff like that. Like that, when you were describing that scene with where she was talking with like Egg Lady and stuff like that, and how they're friends, but they like, are they like tear? Yeah, they like tear each other down. Like I used to have a friend like that, and before I realized, like, no, this person is dragging me down, and this person isn't making me happy. So I let that person go.
Yeah,
and I was just like I don't need this in my life, and that's kind of what that reminded me, and that's why I don't like it.
Yeah,
is that I have known women that are like that petty or that shallow and stuff like that. And I just, I'm trying to take that out of my life.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So it's going to be one concha from me. But I think it's specifically, it's because it doesn't appeal to me. Mm-hmm. It's not my style.
Yeah.
But if you like underground stuff, if you like stuff that's like weird and out there, you would like this. And that is perfectly valid in and of itself. Yep. I like some stuff that's weird just for being fucking weird.
Yeah.
But I guess it's not my brand of weird.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give it one concha.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is Sarah, and I'm going to go with two. Because I like Egg Lady. She reminds me of me. And this is the reason. There were times where I shared my wedding pictures online, like Facebook and stuff like that. And I got like responses like on private message from like other girls. They're like, oh, you look so happy. Like I want to find somebody like you did. I want to be happy like you. And I'm like, those are just wedding pictures. It's not the whole relationship.
Yeah.
I'm like, as a matter of fact, I just got in a fight with my husband and I was like, fuck this shit. But I'm not going to post it on Facebook. So I felt like I was sending the wrong message. So reading that just reminded me of those instances in my life where some people were like, oh, wow, you have such a beautiful relationship. Like, I want something like you have. And I'm like, no, man, you don't. Like, we just got in a fight, like, on the way over here. Like, like, seriously, like, it's not all just nice. I know I post a lot of really cute pictures of my husband and myself. But so that reminds me of that kind of, like, social media can be, like, kind of bad in a sense. You know, you're sending out a message where you're happy because you share the good times. But people are taking it like, oh, this bitch is sharing her happy stuff again. Fuck her. You know, like stuff like that. So that for that reason. And also, in the moment that I read it yesterday. And Frank brought home some beer and he's like, you want some? I'm like, sure. So I'm drinking a beer and I'm reading this book. And I was just in that moment, you know, like it was just kind of a perfect moment for me to read it. Like I enjoyed it. So I'm going to say dos conchas.
Well, if you like Egg Lady, in her second book, if you want to buy that one and read it, you're going to meet the amazing Tammy Pawn, which is a anthropomorphic tampon, and Bed Hopping Horse, WHORSE. It only gets better, folks, and you can read all about it in her second one, Demon Bitch She Sucks, which is also available at Horatora studios.com.
Excellent.
And you can follow her on social media at Horatora Studios. I believe it says horatorstudios.com, so I'm assuming that that's what her at is on Instagram and on Facebook and Twitter.
Excellent. Now it's time for Chisme de la Semana. Kristen, what do you have for us today?
Well, my chisme today is actually kind of personal in that it is all about Eddie and me to a lesser extent. But a couple of weeks ago at the shop, there was a filming production that was going on at Heidi Ho. They were filming Eddie and asking him questions and interviewing him and doing a lot of B-roll stuff in the shop because he is going to be the highlight of one of the episodes of a brand new documentary series called Cover to Cover, which is a series that highlights comic creators who are in the various stages of success, I suppose. And a production company who is shopping this idea around, and they are in talks with PBS right now, and they're very hopeful that it's going to get picked up, and I think it actually would be perfect for PBS. It was really cool to participate in that kind of thing. And of course, because I'm in the comic and I'm married to the creator, they interviewed me, and there was a big portion where we were in it together. And then the cool thing that I thought that they had us do is they had us actually narrate a strip. They had Eddie pick out a strip that he wanted to highlight, and we read the dialogue out loud, and then they're gonna put our voiceover
over the comic.
and we're gonna be able to see it like that. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to actually hopefully see this come to fruition, and hopefully PBS picks it up. And even if they don't, if they just upload it to YouTube, I'm excited to watch it. So that's my chisme.
That is such great chisme. I actually started reading the comic strip before I met Eddie, and then I met him at some convention in Long Beach, and then I met Kristen, and now when I read it, I hear their voices in my head when I read it, so it's kind of freaking awesome.
That's funny that you say that, because my best friend says the same thing. She says, I can totally hear you guys talking in my head when I read the strips.
And if you guys want to read the strips as well, you can find them on Facebook, or you can follow them on Collectors Comic.
Collector, and you can go to collectorscomic.com. And then, yes, it's on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. And, of course, they are for sale on the website as well as in the shop if you're ever in Heidi Ho.
Or if you ever see him at a convention, he always has his books with him, and he'll sign them for you. Mm-hmm. What I really like on the Instagram is now that you could upload 10 pictures, like I could read it as a strip, and I love it.
Me
so
too.
Shout out to Instagram for doing that, because I really enjoy reading my strips that way.
Yeah,
it's really cool. Well, I am Sarah, and I also have some chisme. DC Collectibles is at it again. DC Lucha Explosiva figures have been canceled.
The ones that I'm on.
You know why?
Design?
You know why? Because Frank and Miller's shit is ugly as fuck.
Is that who? Oh, yes. See, I see it now. Yeah. I brought a picture of them because I was like.
Yes. Okay. I'm not going to lie. I wanted that Deathstroke with the chair. That was cool. And Wonder Woman was all right.
Yeah, she's all right.
Oh, my gosh. That Frank Miller Batman is just like so ugly.
Tell us how you really feel.
Was it Frank Miller who designed these?
It looks a little bit.
Is this the one that I'm thinking of? Yes.
Frank Miller designed those?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they just announced it at New York Toy Fair this past February that they were going to come out with this line, Lucha Explosiva. And they have the upside down exclamation point. So I thought that was cute. These figures, it's a reimagined DC characters as Mexican luchadores. It was a huge hit when they announced it. But sadly, Diamond Comics has stated that they've been canceled.
Huh.
And will not be resolicited.
Yeah, so they were solicited already because Eddie called me over when he was doing orders and said, look at this. And I said, oh, yeah, I saw that. And I was telling him I wanted the Deathstroke. But they were also super expensive.
Oh, really?
And just for the fact of just wanting the Deathstroke with the chair, because I thought that was funny, was not worth it for however much it was. I can't remember how much it was, but it was really expensive.
Well, they're not going to happen, guys.
So does that mean we're not getting any of them, or they're just not going to do them again? Because resolicited, I don't know what that means. Diamond is all kinds of confusing.
I know, right? So what I've gathered from saying they're not going to be resolicited is that they're not going to get them. They're not going to do them at all. But
so I guess that if we ordered any, they were just going to cancel them.
They were designed by artist Ricardo Federici. So I want to say it's Federici, mm-hmm. and sculpted by Wanil Song. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it wasn't Frank Miller.
Oh no, no, no! He didn't actually do it, but they are based on his his renditions.
Renditions, yes. I see.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's what. Yeah, he didn't actually design the thing, but they're based on his drawings.
On his drawings,
yes.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that does explain why they're ugly. I didn't want to say it back when they had first designed it, but I was just like, I'm not really into it. Because the thing is, Ramon Villalobos designed some as well that looked a lot better. Mm-hmm. And I thought those were cool. And I thought that's what they had designed them off of. But then when they decided to make them into toys, they just came out ugly.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Which happens a lot.
Yes, it does happen.
Absolutely.
But that makes me feel better. Because they're kind of ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
If you were excited for them, I'm very sorry.
Yeah.
I feel for you. But at the same time, I'm just like, make a better
test. Yeah. At the same time, you're fine.
Yeah. You'll be fine. You'll live.
All right, guys. Now it's time for On My Radar. Jen, what do you have for us today?
On My Radar. Okay. So this is it's a little bit old, but Netflix in 2017 released an anime based off of a old manga called Blame. Mm-hmm. And it was really good. It's like if you... I bring this up because I've kind of been getting back into it, into like cyberpunk and stuff like that. And Netflix has been producing a lot of original anime that's pretty good.
I've noticed actually. That. Mm-hmm. It comes up on my
your feed?
Feed when I go to Netflix. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they've been doing a really good job with it as well as their like line of original cartoons and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Their Castlevania mm-hmm. short, or I guess because combined I think like the episodes were like maybe 2 hours like long,
yeah,
but each episode was like 10 minutes. It wasn't 2 hours long, it was maybe like an hour and a half all combined. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it was really good.
I heard it's really good.
And it was and a lot of people were just like, why did you release them as episodes? You could have just released it as one movie and be called it done. And that's what they could have done. But it was all this to say is that it was good. Mm-hmm. And they've been doing a lot of really good stuff. And I remember when they first released their original line of anime, everybody was just like, Netflix is making anime? That's so dumb. And I was just like, oh my God, Netflix is making anime and it's good. But Blame is an old cyberpunk manga. It's not even that old. Oh, no, a little bit. I recently watched it and it was really good. And I bring this up is because they just released the manga adaptation, another manga adaptation of the movie that's based off of a manga that's already finished. So it's a little confusing.
Oh my God, I know, I'm so confused.
I'm confused. Yeah.
I gotta write this down.
So there's a manga called Blame.
Uh-huh.
B-L-A-M-E.
B-L-A-M-E exclamation mark.
Okay.
Oh.
And then there is the anime.
Now I want to know.
And then there's the Netflix anime that is based off of that. And it's kind of short. Hold on.
So there was an anime manga that finished, and then Netflix's series is based on the series that already ended in manga form.
Yeah, and it's a movie.
Okay.
I say anime because it's an anime movie, they didn't do episodes and stuff like that. Mm. It's a full blown movie, which is why I brought up the Castlevania stuff and why I was like ticked off that they did it as episodes. Yeah. Just release it as a whole movie. People will watch it. And then they released a manga that is basically the movie, but it's condensed. So it doesn't like it's basically an adaptation of the entire series. Oh, so it's one book that basically sums up the entire series.
Okay.
So if you like kind of want a bit more or like kind of want more like of a condensed version of the series itself too, that's a good one to pick up. And mm-hmm. it's really good. I really like if you like Battle Angel Alita, if you like cyberpunk and stuff like that and you don't you want to get more into cyberpunk instead of like going with the classics, Alita, Akira, what's the other one? Oh, 21st Century Boys or 20th mm-hmm. Century Boys and stuff like that. That's a pretty good one to pick up. Blame's pretty good. And if you don't want to read, if you don't want to pick up the manga, you can all watch the anime movie on Netflix. There's also there was also an anime series, though, that was actually episodes that released way back, like in 2003 or something around there.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's a while ago. Yeah. It's pretty.
And then there's the original manga itself that is a 6 complete volumes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is a nice little compact, condensed version.
Yes, pretty much. Okay. And like I said, it's if you like cyberpunk, you want to get more into cyberpunk, or you just want something new that's in the cyberpunk stuff, that's a pretty good one to pick up.
Nice.
Cyberpunk is the name of my next pet. No, just kidding. I don't know. And now it's time for Juntos y Fuertes. Kristen, what do you have for us today?
Okay, so this came about for me on, as most of my news does, on Facebook. Don't judge. But Remezcla, one of the Latinx pages that shares a lot of stuff, shared the other day this movie called Jose, and it sounded really interesting. And the more I read about it, the more I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds really good. And it's another medium, but it is a Latinx themed movie, and I thought it would be perfect for Juntos y Fuertes. But Jose is a story set in Guatemala, and it's by Lee Cheng, who is originally, I think he immigrated over here, and I don't know where he lives now, but he does, if you look, he does a lot of Latinx stories. But anyway, it tackles, it's all about Jose, who is a 19-year-old living in Guatemala, and he is basically living his day helping the family make money with like their restaurant and everything. But by night is basically picking up guys on whatever their rendition of Tinder or Grindr is, and like having meaningless sex until he meets this one dude who makes him realize that he wants more. And so the article I read talked about how the story really tackles how homophobia, poverty, violence, and the broken infrastructures within a country collide in current day Guatemala. And how this story is squarely focused on what it means to come of age and come out as an indigenous gay man who barely makes a living wage. And wow. I thought that that was a story that you don't really necessarily see mm-hmm. when you see mm-hmm. these kinds of movies and stories of mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Coming of age, and you know, you are a gay man and trying to figure it out. And a lot of times we don't see the person is white or the person has money or mm-hmm. is squarely middle class or something like that. So this actually really made me interested to see mm-hmm. it. And mm-hmm. the visuals of the country, of the short little trailer that I saw, were beautiful. So it's called Jose, and the producer director is Lee Cheng, L-I-C-H-E-N-G, and it's making the festival circuit. It was produced in 2018, and if you look, it's already won tons of awards.
I'm gonna have to watch this.
Yeah, definitely.
Because that's actually a question that I've come across, because every time that we go to Guatemala, and I figured out my sexuality a while back, but I had it come out to anybody mm-hmm. Or to my parents and stuff like that, and I slowly came out to my siblings and then my friends and stuff like that, and then I finally came out to my mom. But it's a kind of a question I've had, because whenever I do go to Guatemala, it's kind of we don't talk about mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. here, and I was just so like, I can't be like, whenever my family over there asks like, oh, so like, first of all, there's the whole question of like, when I first went there when I was 13, they asked me if I was married.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And my mom basically was like, no, they don't do that over there.
Yeah,
not like here and stuff like that. And they were like, And they're like, oh, and then when I went back when I was 19, they're like, so like, are you married now? And I was just all like, no, I'm 19. And they're like, you're getting up there in age. And I'm just like, I'm 19.
Yeah. And, vas a vestir santos.
Uh-huh. And so like, and then that all got complicated. But I was just like, now every time they ask me about like guys, I'm just like, it's probably not going to be a guy. I'm just like, but you.
Surprise.
Like, but that's just the thing is that over there, like, there are certain areas that still stone people to death for being queer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Smaller communities and stuff like that. So it's kind of a like in like the bigger cities and stuff like that, there's definitely a scene, but it's very much underground. Mm-hmm. And I could not pry a word out of people
about where it is.
About where it is, or like allude to it, because they would basically shut down the conversation and stuff like that. And so like, it's just kind of like if you didn't grow up there,
mm-hmm.
or like were able to find anything, you're not going to be able to find it as an mm-hmm. outsider and stuff like that. Or like, unless you're in the capital or something like that. Yeah. Because usually in the capital is when it's like more, I guess, more visible, or can be sometimes more, more liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Like in Mexico mm-hmm. City and stuff like that, there's like an entire like scene and everything. And like they're pretty open in public. Like they have like their own version of West Hollywood and stuff like that. Like where like you would go and stuff like that. That you know is there, and that they're like if not supported at least, or discriminated, at least like they're there.
Yeah.
Basically. Mm-hmm. Over there it's just all like don't see, don't hear.
Right.
Doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very much hidden
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that, because it's very much like a especially for such a religious country, like right now over there right now they are celebrating
Semana Santa
mm-hmm.
They take a whole week off of work.
Yeah,
they
everybody and like right. My mom actually yesterday on Good Friday, my mom was just all like, oh, I shouldn't be working, it's a sin and stuff like that. And I'm just all like,
what?
I'm sorry, what? And I'm just all like, and it's like, but like, that's how it's seen. It's just like, you don't swear, you don't work, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to dedicate your entire life to worship and thoughts mm-hmm. of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, actually, my husband got a phone call yesterday on his drive from San Diego to L.A., mm-hmm. from work, and his mom started crying on the phone, and mm-hmm. he's like, why are you crying? She's like, you didn't call me for Semana Santa, uh-huh. for Good Friday. He's all like, I'm working, I'm in the mountains, I don't even have reception.
Yeah.
Plus I'm working, so I didn't even realize it was Semana Santa.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you listening, Good Friday was yesterday us, and Easter is tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Oh shit! It's Easter tomorrow.
Easter tomorrow.
Yes.
But but it's a big deal, right. And my mom has been blasting religious, because like what they do, religious broadcast is that they hold mass over there.
Ugh.
And they like they broadcast it,
yeah.
And that's what she's, so right now she's currently listening to mass over there in her country that's being broadcasted, and she has been doing this since Monday.
Yeah,
so it's just like it's been going like on and off, but that's how religious it is over there.
Yeah.
They have like, and it's a beautiful festival. Like there's because it's a festival.
Mm-hmm.
It's like and people are like, the only job that you have is like making bread and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or like, and it's the women who are making bread.
Yeah.
The men are off doing something else.
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
You know, you're not supposed to drink.
I know.
You're not supposed to drink.
That's
like,
why she whispered it.
Yeah. but it's like it's a big deal. But when you have that much religion, of course it's going to stuff like that. It's not. It's best off ignored.
Right.
They say. Yeah.
Well, given all of that inside information, it makes it even more interesting for me to want to see this movie.
Same. I am very interested in
this
movie.
The article actually talked about how Lee Chang used a lot of locals in the backgrounds and as maybe even some of the like side characters and stuff. And they said that their inexperience was a little bit jarring sometimes, but also at the same time kind of added to the beauty of the authenticity of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, definitely. I'm very interested in it.
All right, guys. Now it's time for saludos. And today, saludos go out to Scintillating Stories. And you can find them on Facebook at Scintillating Stories. If you don't know how to spell scintillating, just Google it. Scintillating Stories is a podcast for everyone and anyone that loves a good story. Designed as a story time for adults kind of show. They cover numerous genres. I love it when they do the horror stuff.
Cool.
Yeah, And their podcast, they basically, if a story is long, they do it in parts, but they basically last between 15 and 30 minutes. So it's a quick, nice little, and it's so cool because I listen to them when I'm working. Mm-hmm. So like my mind kind of wanders and creates these characters and these scenes and everything. And they, I mean, their production is amazing. I mean, I would think it's sort of like when the family would gather around the radio and just listen to the story.
Are these all original stories that they're doing?
Yes, some of them are original stories. So it's really cool. They have people like writing stories and stuff like that. So it's really cool. And you can listen to them on iTunes and Spotify. You can catch Scintillating Stories live in San Diego. They usually do it on every third Wednesday of each month at Lestat's West Music Venue. And that's at 3343 Adams Avenue, San Diego, California. They usually post their episodes on Facebook. So if you follow them on Facebook, you could click on the link on their Facebook once they come out with the new story. So I really enjoy them. I actually met some of the producers and the people that thought of making this at Long Beach Comic Con.
Oh, wow.
And they were actually, it's so funny, they were actually sitting next to Christy Shin. So that's how I met them. And they had me at Short Stories.
Yeah.
And and then they said, yeah, that's a lot of work. We have different actors come in and read and stuff. And they're, at first I was like, yeah, right. But then I heard it and I was like, this is amazing.
Oh, that's
so you
cool.
guys, if you guys are like, maybe have a road trip or whatever, download a couple of like a few episodes and man, you'll be entertained for sure, man. I love it while working when I'm posting payments and don't really have to think. So I love it. Love it. So shout out to them. Saludos a Scintillating Stories. And you can find them on Facebook. You can listen to them on iTunes and Spotify. And that brings us to the end of our episode. Any shout outs or anything? Any news you want to share before we leave?
Don't forget, Free Comic Book Day is coming up on May the 4th. And it's May the 4th be with you. And at all, no matter where you at, Free Comic Book Day is worldwide. So any comic book shop near you, local comic book shop, should be having some sort of event. If not, just at least free stuff to give away. So check out your local comic shop to see what they have going on Free Comic Book Day, which is always the first Saturday in May.
Excellent. You can follow us on Snapchat. I try to do all of our events and all that cool stuff and upload stuff. So just follow us on Snapchat, Comadres y Comics.
And we're on Instagram at Comadres y Comics.
And we're on Twitter at Comic Comadres. And you send us a DM if you want us to review a book or any want to say
it
hi.
It seems like, yeah, a lot of people do that on Twitter.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. But you can also email us at comadresycomics@gmail.com. That this has been your episode, and we have been your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Bye.
Bye.